This is ARN.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us. It is Tuesday, the 16th day of April, 2024. And I sincerely hope you got your taxes done yesterday. I don't want to see the IRS knocking on your door. They're nasty and not fun. I know. I had a friend that was an IRS agent. She was nasty and not fun. Actually, she was perfectly fine, but I still wouldn't want her coming at me to look at my taxes. Tax day is past. Hope it wasn't too painful for you. Mrs. Squirrel and I got our taxes done several weeks ago, which was a nice feeling. Have actually already got our federal refund check, which was about enough to buy both of us lunch at Wendy's, which is a good thing because, you know, you want to get as small of a refund as possible because a refund just means you overpaid all year. And the larger your refund, the longer you've had to deal with to not use a lot of money that you're not going to get any interest on. You basically gave the government a no interest loan for most of the year until you get it back. So I try not to do that. Try to adjust my withholdings and everything to come in right where I'm going to get most of it. You know, I'm not going to have to get much back or pay much in. Want to try as close to a zero balance at the end of the year when I file my taxes as possible. And that's just the way that is. All right, this is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and whatever else I want to talk about. We webcast every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Mountain on X, Facebook, Rumble, and at least for the moment, YouTube. And then the audio podcast is available for download wherever you find fine podcasts. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. You can head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.org. Check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You are certain to find something worth listening to. I guarantee it. About my announcement yesterday that Squirrel Chatter would soon be missing from the Christian Podcast Community feed. As of right now, it looks like I will be changing hosts and that Squirrel Chatter will port over and we will host the audio podcast on the Christian Podcast Community servers, which would maintain Squirrel Chatter on the Christian Podcast Community feed. That's where it stands 24 hours after I made the announcement yesterday, and we will hold to that and see where that ends up. I've just had a super busy week ahead of me, and so I'm not going to be able to really take any action on that this week. So we'll see. We may end up getting ported over after the change is made, which would mean, you know, we might not be on the community feed for a few days. We'll just have to wait and see when I can squeeze in the time and how much work, you know, redirect and all of that stuff that has to be done because, you know, feed addresses need to be changed and there's all sorts of fun stuff you do when you redirect from one hosting platform to another. And it's stuff I've done with websites, but it's not something I've ever done with a podcast. So I'm going to have to figure that out. And especially since I don't have a current website and I haven't had to deal with that in a long time. I do have a blog on Blogspot that I've had for almost two decades. But that is, that's Google and it's not active. I mean, you can go back there, you can go up there and read old articles I wrote 10 years ago, but I haven't been posting anything there in a while, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's just the way it is. But anyway, all of that to say, Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. Head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.org and check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. And if it looks like we will remain on the community feed for Christian Podcast Community for the foreseeable future. So that's good news. All right. What do we got coming up today? We have scripture reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. We have prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. We have a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings for the Life of Christ. And our study Bible level Bible study of Deuteronomy continues. We're going to be starting chapter 33 today. And reading through chapter 33, we're going to probably be there a couple of weeks. we are right up against the end of the book of Deuteronomy. We are moving on to the book of Isaiah next. So keep that in mind. And again, we're looking at the books of the Old Testament that are the most quoted in the New Testament. Now, Psalms is, of course, the most quoted, and I'm not going to do a study through the Psalms. not that I'm against a study through the Psalms. It's just that's beyond what I wanted to do on the podcast. So we're almost done with Deuteronomy. We're going to move on to Isaiah and then probably Jeremiah after that. We'll see where we go. I'll make that decision for sure as we get to the end of Isaiah. But we're going to Isaiah next after we finish Deuteronomy. And again, we're starting chapter 33 today. All right, let us begin, as is our practice, with the prayer of confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. After we take a sip of Herb's House coffee, Herb's House House Blend, they are not a sponsor, but I like their coffee. We have no sponsors here on Squirrel Chatter. That's why we have such a low budget, because we don't have any money to spend. You know, expensive backdrops. No, you get my messy bookcases. There's not much of a budget for Squirrel Chatter. All right. Let us recite the prayer of confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture readings today are going to be Exodus 27 and Psalm 77. Exodus 27. And you shall make the altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. The altar shall be a square, and its height shall be 3 cubits. You shall make its horns on its 4 corners. Its horns shall be of the same piece, and you shall overlay it with bronze. You shall make its pots for removing its ashes, and its shovels, and its bowls, and its flesh hooks, and its fire pans. You shall make all its utensils of bronze. You shall make for it a grating, a network of bronze, and on the net you shall make four bronze rings at its four corners. You shall put it beneath, under the ledge of the altar, so that the net will reach halfway down the altar. You shall make poles for the altar, poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with bronze. Its poles shall be inserted into the rings, so that the poles shall be on the two sides of the altar when it is carried. You shall make it hollow with planks, and as it was shown to you in the mountain, so they shall make it. You shall make the court of the tabernacle. On the south side there shall be hangings of the court of fine twisted linen, 100 cubits long for one side, and its pillars shall be 20, with their 20 bases of bronze. The hooks of the pillars and their bands shall be of silver. Likewise, for the north side, in the length there shall be hangings 100 cubits long, and its 20 pillars with their 20 bases of bronze. The hooks of the pillars and their bands shall be of silver. For the width of the court on the west side shall be hangings of 50 cubits, with their 10 pillars and their 10 bases. The width of the court on the east side toward the sunrise shall be 50 cubits. The hangings for the one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits, with their three pillars and their three bases, and for the other side shall be hangings of 15 cubits, with their three pillars and their three bases. As for the gate of the court, thou shalt be a screen of 20 cubits, of blue and purple and scarlet material, and fine twisted linen, the work of a weaver, with their four pillars and their four bases. All the pillars around the court shall be furnished with silver bands, with their hooks of silver and their bases of bronze. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, and the width 50 throughout, and the height 5 cubits of fine twisted linen, and their bases of bronze. All the utensils of the tabernacle used in all its service, and all its pegs, and all the pegs of the court, shall be of bronze. And you shall command the sons of Israel that they bring you clear oil of beaten olives for the light, to make a lamp burn continually. In the tent of meeting, outside the veil which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall keep it in order from evening to morning before Yahweh. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout their generations for the sons of Israel. Now, Psalm 77. The 77th Psalm for the choir director, according to Jeduthun, and of Asaph, a psalm. My voice rises to God, and I must cry aloud. My voice rises to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my distress I sought the Lord. In the night my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. I remember God, and I am disturbed. I muse, and my spirit faints. Selah. You have held my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I give thought to the days of old, the years of long ago. I remember my music in the night. I am musing with my heart, and my strength and my spirit is searching. Will the Lord reject evermore, and will he not be favorable again? Has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has his word ended from generation to generation? Has God forgotten to be gracious, or has he in anger shut up his compassion? Selah. Then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I shall remember the deeds of Yah. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. O God, your ways are holy. What God is great like you? Excuse me. O God, your way is holy. What God is great like God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have, by your arm, redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you, and they were in anguish. The deeps also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth a sound. Your arrows went here and there. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea and your paths in the mighty waters. But your footprints were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. This is the word of the Lord. And now our reading from Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. Today's devotional is Undaunted Faith. Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over the sea and came to his own city. And they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son, your sins are forgiven." Matthew 9, 1 and 2. Dr. MacArthur writes, "Christianity's most distinctive message is the truth that God can forgive sin. The essence of the gospel is that Christ's atoning death can free people from the penalty of sin. If Jesus can heal diseases and disabilities, he can surely provide cleansing for the consequences of sin." The man who brought the paralytic to the Lord undoubtedly believed this very strongly. Those with crippling disabilities have always had to endure social stigma and neglect. But in the Jewish culture of Jesus' day and much earlier, the stigma was especially pronounced because everyone believed chronic ailments stemmed directly from someone's sin. Bildad told Job, "If your son sinned against him, then they delivered them into the power of their transgression. Then he delivered them into the power of their transgression." Job 8:4. See also Job 4:7 and John 9, 1 and 2. The paralytic here likely had the same understanding concerning sin and disease. Thus, he was determined at any cost to see Jesus for forgiveness and a resultant physical healing. Christ saw the determination of his faith as his friends working through the crowd to get the paralytic in front of him. That aggressive approach revealed their hearts of faith. In all his physical ugliness and spiritual neediness, the man threw himself upon Jesus' mercy. The paralyzed man came to the Lord in true humility and poverty of spirit, which God requires of all seeking hearts, Matthew 5:3. Jesus sometimes healed people of little faith, but he was especially willing to heal those of great faith, as with the men and his friends. Ask yourself, why does God choose to work through our faith? Why would he want to include our cooperation as part of his healing activity? What might he be requiring of you as he deals with certain needs in your life? Good word. And again, the healing and forgiveness of sin is so much more important than the healing of the physical body. These bodies are only going to last, most of us less than a century. And that is not even a blink of the eye in relation to eternity. So we can look forward to, an eternity of physical, and yes, we will be physical beings in the new heavens and the new earth. We can look forward to an eternity of physical perfection when everything works right, nothing goes wrong. I think about friends that are ailing right now. Tom Buck's daughter has been in and out of the hospital because of heart condition. She's on blood thinners, and she just had her wisdom teeth out, and she's been having unstoppable bleeding. And so it's been a serious thing that, and I'm not saying anything secret. Tom's been asking for prayer on Twitter. So, pray for Madison. She needs your prayers. Pray for Tom and Jennifer as they're taking care of her and as they are understandably concerned for her physical well-being. Phil Johnson, the executive director of Grace to You, has also been in and out of the hospital these last few days. Continue to pray for him. He had shoulder surgery, and then what they seem to be attributing to a loss of blood pressure during the shoulder surgery, his kidneys decided they didn't like him anymore. And so his kidneys have been misbehaving. He posted yesterday on Twitter that his kidney function is improving and asked for continued prayers. I was texting with him earlier this or over the weekend and asked him about his shoulder. He said, "Oh, the shoulder's fine. It's virtually pain-free. The trouble he's having is with the kidneys and stuff." So continue to pray for him and pray for Darlene. And they were given the horrible hour of 5 a.m. for his dialysis appointments. And I'm not sure how far they have to drive from their home. But anytime you have to be somewhere at 5 a.m., it's not fun. Unless you're some crazed night owl, which that's your own problem. All right. Now for time for our study Bible level Bible study. We are in Deuteronomy 33. At the end of Deuteronomy 32, Moses went up to Mount Nebo, you remember, so that he could look out over the promised land because he was not going to be allowed to enter the promised land because he had disobeyed God. And so that was part of his judgment. He was not going to be able to cross over with them. And so he went up on Mount Nebo and looked out over across the Jordan. And as it happens, I have a friend who is in Jordan right now. And he was on Mount Nebo yesterday. I was looking at his Facebook this morning as he was posting pictures looking across the Jordan from the top of Mount Nebo. It's like, this is Moses' view right here. This is what he saw, and pictures of a very ancient Christian church that is sitting up there with mosaics, you know, mosaic tile floors from, I believe he said, the 6th century. So it's an ancient church. I'd have to go back and reread his post. I'm just doing that from memory, but I was just noting, you know, he's on Mount Nebo and he's looking out across the Jordan and took a picture of it and all that kind of thing. Hey, we just read that. and sure enough, we did. So that's where chapter 32 ends. When we get to chapter 33, we're looking at the blessing of Moses. As Moses pronounces a blessing on the nation of Israel before he died. Now, this is not the first time we have seen this. We saw Isaac pronouncing a blessing on Jacob. He didn't die at that time, but he thought he was dying. And then we saw Jacob pronouncing a blessing on all of his sons. And now we have Moses pronouncing a blessing on all of Israel. So these are the final words of Moses recorded for us in the scripture. And he blesses each of the tribes except Simeon. Now, these blessings are, each blessing is introduced and concluded with praise to God, kind of a little doxology. And these blessings are presented in this chapter, recorded by someone other than Moses, most likely Joshua. And that's made clear in verse 1. This is in the third person. This is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the sons of Israel before his death. And he said, so this is recorded by someone else. So most likely Joshua. And most likely Joshua wrote chapter 34, which talks about Moses' death. Obviously, Moses being dead didn't write that. So here we even have, because of the tense of the verbs, this might have been recorded after Moses' death. This was Moses' blessing. Now, was this something that Moses addressed the nation with, or was this a blessing that Moses pronounced while on Mount Nebo? He took Joshua up to Mount Nebo with him. So this, you know, makes sense that this would be Joshua recording this. If Joshua was with him on the mountain, if he pronounced this blessing on the mountain, then that would make perfect sense. Let's see. According to 34, he dies atop Mount Nebo. So it sounds like he climbed up Mount Nebo, he saw the promised land, and he died up there. So we're going to look at that when we get to 34 and talk about that a little bit more. But this seems to have been, you know, starting in 33. It's definitely recorded by somebody else, and it's possibly recorded after his death. There's a, you know, I can picture it. Joshua and Moses go up the mountain. Moses sees the promised land. Moses pronounces his blessing and dies. Joshua comes back down and writes down Moses' blessing and the account of his death. And that's just kind of the way I see it falling out. Can't be dogmatic about that, but that seems to be the way that it would work. All right. And as usual, we are not going to get through all of this today. So Deuteronomy chapter 33, and I said we're going to spend several weeks in 33, I imagine. Now this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the sons of Israel before his death. And he said, Yahweh came from Sinai, and he dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came from the midst of 10,000 holy ones. At his right hand there was flashing lightning for them. Indeed, he loves the people. All your holy ones are in your hand, and they followed in your steps. Everyone is bearing up your words. Moses commanded us with a law, a possession for the assembly of Jacob, and he was king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people were gathered, the tribes of Israel together. May Reuben live and not die, nor his men be few. So this is, according to the MacArthur Study Bible, the very first use of the word the man of God, referring to Moses here in chapter 33, verse 1. So this was, you know, it's a title used of many of the prophets in the Old Testament. This is the first use, and it's fitting that it's applied to Moses. Moses was viewed, you know, among the prophets, but also the chief of the Old Testament prophets. He was certainly the first, not the first, God spoke prophetically to Job, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, but Moses had such a deep relationship with God. I mean, the first five books of the Bible are Moses' prophetic writings. And so he is not only the first, he's the first of the writing prophets for sure. He's also the chief prophet in that he records for us God's interactions with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he records that for us, and he records all of the history of Israel up until this point. He also gave great prophecies for the future of Israel, looking down through time at what would come. And so Moses is among the chief prophets of the Old Testament. And indeed, in Deuteronomy 18, we saw he talked about that God would raise up a prophet like Moses to lead the people. Excuse me. And that prophet was the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. A little catch in my throat. God was not, you know, Moses was not promising that the prophet who was going to be like Moses that God was going to raise up was, he was not talking about the other prophets to come. He was talking about the final prophet. And you just have to read Hebrews 1 to figure out who that is. That in these last days, God has spoken to us in his Son. So that's the key thing. And then he lists in verse 2 several mountains. Sinai, Seir, and Paran. And these are the mountains that are associated with the giving of the law. Sinai was in the south, Seir was in the northeast, and Paran was on the north. So this is a metaphor that Moses uses, that dawn, that God, like the morning sun, is the light that rises on all of the promised land. And then it refers to the midst of 10,000 holy ones, the angels that surround God at all times. And these angels, you know, that assist God, that are always in his presence and always available to do his bidding. You know, just a statement of his majesty. And then in verse 3, he says, he loves the people. All your holy ones are in your hand. Now, here, holy ones is probably referring to the Israelites, not to the angels. So we can see that this is one of those things, that this is a term that is contextually determined. Who is he talking about? And so there's always, you know, a little bit of uncertainty when he says the holy ones. The other expression is the sons of God, you know, are the sons of God of Genesis 6 the same sons of God who are angelic beings in Job 1? I'm not going to go there. I just can't. I don't think there's not enough evidence to be dogmatic about that. I think this is actually a little bit clearer because he's talking about his love for the people, and your holy ones are in your hands and they follow in your steps. So he's talking about Israel. So the law was given in God's love and kindness, and it did provide temporal blessings for those who obeyed. And God's promises promised eternal blessings for those who trusted in him. Remember, we are all saved by grace through faith in Christ. In the Old Testament, that was faith in looking forward to what God had promised to do, that he had promised to send a redeemer, that being Christ. We look back believing the promise of God that on the cross, the Redeemer accomplished our redemption. So it's always been by grace through faith in Christ. Even in the Old Testament, when they did not know exactly who Christ was going to be, they still believed the promises of God to send a Redeemer, that God would save them from their sins. And so, you know, huge thing to understand, that there's only ever been one way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's Old Testament, New Testament. That's anybody that comes to God through Christ, because our own righteousness is totally insufficient to bring us to that point. So, And then it says that Moses was king over Jeshurun. Or was God king over Jeshurun? See, Moses is never called king anywhere. So it says, and he was king in Jeshurun. This is probably referring to God. I can see how people would think it would refer to Moses, because verse 4 says, Moses commanded us with a law, a possession for the assembly of Jacob. The law was given to Israel, a.k.a. Jacob. The law was given to Israel, and the promised land was given to Israel. So this is the possession of Jacob. And he was king in Jerusalem. Well, normally, the preceding, the pronouns normally refer to the previously antecedent noun. But it's always not so clear. It's not referring to Jacob. Jacob was not king in Jeshurun. It could be referring to Moses, but as I said, Moses is never called king. Moses was not anointed to be a king. He was not treated as a king. He was never referred to as king. You know. So this is probably referring to God as king of Israel. Now we know in 1 Samuel 8 that Israel, in demanding a king like the nations around them, God saw that as them forsaking his kingship. And it was really an act of judgment. It was the reason he gave him Saul. You want a king? I'll give you a king. Yeah. So then in Isaiah 44, and let's just flip over there and take a look. Isaiah 44, we have in verses 1 through 6, a reference to God as king in Jeshurun. If I can, pages are sticking together. All right. Yep. Pages are stuck together. I need to, there we go. There's Isaiah 44 hiding in the cracks here. All right. Oh, that's Isaiah 43. There we go, Isaiah 44. Listen to verses 1 through 6. But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says Yahweh, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour out water on the thirsty ground and streams on the dry land. I will pour out my spirit on your seed and my blessing on your offspring, and they will spring up among the grass like poplars by streams of water. This one will say, I belong to Yahweh, and this one will call on the name of Jacob, and this one will write in his hand, belonging to Yahweh, and will name Israel's name with honor. Thus says Yahweh, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God besides me. So I also clearly see a Christological reference there in verse 6, where it talks about Yahweh, the King of Israel and Israel's Redeemer, referring, of course, to Christ, who is himself God, Yahweh of hosts. So Yahweh is king of Israel. So when it says here in Deuteronomy 33, verse 5, and he was king in Jeshurun, that's most likely referring to God himself. He was king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people were gathered, the tribes of Israel together. And then here's this prayer in verse 6, that the tribe of Reuben would survive and that Reuben would be great in number. May Reuben live and not die, nor his men be few. And this regarding Judah, verse 7. So he said, Hear, O Yahweh, the voice of Judah, and bring him to his people. With his hands he contended for them, and may you be a help against his adversaries. So here we have a blessing for Judah, that the tribe would be powerful in leading the nation and would be victorious in battle with the help of the Lord. And of course, Judah is the tribe from which the Messiah comes. Verse 8, of Levi he said, Let your Thummim and your Urim belong to your Holy One, whom you tested at Massa, with whom you contended at the waters of Meribah, who said of his father and his mother, I did not consider them. And he did not recognize his brothers, nor did he know his own sons, for they kept your word and they observed your covenant. They shall teach your judgment to Jacob and your law to Israel. They shall put incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar. O Yahweh, bless this substance and accept the work of his hands. Crush the loins of those who rise up against him and those who hate him, so that they will not rise again. So the prayer for Levi and the tribe of Levi, the Levites, of course, are those who serve the Lord in the temple. We've seen there was no inheritance for Levi in the land because the Lord was their inheritance. They were not given a vast territory like the other tribes. Their inheritance was the service of the temple. And in that, they were to be supported by the other tribes so that the Levites would not go hungry. So Moses prays for the Levites to fulfill their tasks, that God would protect them, that they could do their work in the temple and the tabernacle. And so this is very important that they would be, you know, look at what they were going to do. They're going to keep your word, and they're going to observe your covenant. They shall teach your judgments to Jacob, you know, teaching the law, which he says, and your law to Israel. So the Levites were to instruct Israel in the law of the Lord. They are to put incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar. So the sons of Aaron, the descendants of Aaron, who were to be the priests, were from the tribe of Levi. And so the incense that was to be burnt and the offerings that were to be offered would be offered through the Levites. And the Levites in general would be assisting the priests in all of these duties. Bless his sustenance, it says in verse 11. So this is talking about God providing for the Levites as they did his work, and accept the work of his hands. Then crush the loins of those who rise up against him. Let's protect him from his enemies. And those who hate him, so that they will not rise again. So this has implications both inside and outside of Israel, because there were those who were jealous of the Levites because of their special position with God. And then the fact that the Levites were not powerful in territory and wealth and might, that, you know, I believe the Levites were exempted from military service. If I recall, I'd have to go back and look. I'm not remembering exactly, but I think they were, because of their service to the Lord. So they needed to be protected because they were not protecting themselves. So this is a prayer for God to sustain them and for God to protect them from their enemies. Now we're going to stop there. We will resume tomorrow in verse 12, looking at Benjamin. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm just finding this study of Deuteronomy very, very interesting. I'm sad that we're reaching the end of it. I hope it's been profitable for you as well. You know, you can always reach out to me at squirrelchatter@protonmail.com. I love getting your emails, love hearing from you. So please email me. Let me know what's going on. Let me know how I can pray for you. Ask me your questions. You know, always happy to hear from you, whether you're watching the video or listening to the audio. Always looking forward to hear from you. Squirrelchatter@protonmail.com. Drop me a line. All right, let us now recite our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now the collect for the third Sunday of Easter. Almighty God, you gave your only Son to be for us both a sacrifice for sin and an example of godly living. Give us grace, thankfully, to receive his inestimable benefits and daily to follow the blessed steps of his most holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And the Collect for Peace. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us, your humble servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your defense, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through the might of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And for the unrepentant, we pray. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son, you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. All right, folks, that is Squirrel Chatter for today. Again, be in prayer for Madison Buck and be in prayer for Phil Johnson, as well as many others who are facing physical ailments in this world. I could take you through the prayer requests and the Frenchtown Community Church bulletin, but I won't do that. But there are a lot of people hurting in this world, physically, and even more hurting spiritually. So pray for those who are sick. Pray especially for the lost, that they would be found. Have a great Tuesday. Remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.